On September 14th, in the year 335, a great church was dedicated. This church was in Jerusalem. Recently, the church had gone through some significant changes, including being allowed to become public and legal, thereby meaning the church could go from meeting in small homes or during times of persecution in secrecy to meeting in large public buildings. And with this interest in constructing large public buildings came an attempt, particularly around Jerusalem, to find those sites which had connection to the life and ministry, to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so it was that the Emperor Constantine sent his mother Helena to Jerusalem to oversee this work. And they found two sites which local tradition said were the sites of Jesus' cross and death, and the site of the tomb and resurrection. And so a great excavation was undertaken. In the process of that excavation, they said that they found a part of Jesus' cross, the true cross. After the excavation, they built two large buildings with a courtyard between, one part over the cross, the other over the tomb and the site of the resurrection. Now, interestingly, modern archaeologists think there's every possibility that those really could be the places where Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. The day they were dedicated, September 14th, came to be known as Holy Cross Day. Now, in our liturgical calendar, we have 2 days that we particularly remember and focus on and meditate on the cross. The first is, of course, Good Friday. And the focus on Good Friday really is the offering of Jesus on the cross, his willing death there, and humanity's sinfulness that nails him to the tree. Holy Cross Day, while encompassing all that Good Friday means, adds also the triumph, the fact that through the cross is won for us our redemption, that through the cross the power of sin and death is broken, salvation is won. We are reconciled once and for all with God. So it is that the cross has become a central symbol for the Christian church, moving from that symbol of torture and capital punishment to one of veneration and even of decoration. It's not uncommon for people to wear crosses or to find crosses wrought in gold, sometimes with jewels, coming a very long way from the roots as a tool of torture used by the Roman Empire. Tertullian, a second century Christian writer, says that Christians rarely do anything significant without making the sign of the cross, and making that sign of the cross on people and on objects. And if you think about our own worship, think about the Eucharist, the number of times that the cross is made, that sign is used, perhaps by you personally, certainly by the priest when celebrating. Whenever anyone or anything is blessed, the priest traces that sign of the cross. That sign is at the center of who we are. In fact, at baptism, a cross is traced on our foreheads, marking us as Christ's own forever. It's almost as though Jesus puts his initials on us, lays claim to us in that visible way, marking us, taking possession of us, and thereby calling us and inviting us to put on his identity. So it is that if we're called to be Christ's own forever and marked with the sign of the cross, that we are called to walk the way of the cross. And as a church dedicated to Jesus the Redeemer, today is our Feast of Title, Holy Cross Day, that day we particularly give thanks for this parish and remember who we are, baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. But it also means that the center of our life is the cross. The cross on which sin and death end, and the cross, which is the triumph, that victory, which is ours as followers of Jesus. And that power of the cross is all about self-offering, self-giving, about sacrifice, about being called to live for God and for others, not for my own ego, not for yours. Of being called to minister to those who are in need, not counting the cost. Of being called to follow Jesus wherever we may be led, even unto death. But knowing that the way of the cross is, as paradoxical as it seems, the path to abundant life, to life that is stronger than death. In giving up ourselves, we find life. Life with God, life that even wells up unto eternal life. That triumph of the cross, the power of the cross, is ultimately the triumph of love. On the cross, Jesus is there willingly, and he does not respond to hatred with hatred, violence with violence. He doesn't call down the powers of heaven to smite those who put them there and to remove himself from the cross. He loves to the end, even praying that those who crucified him would be forgiven. That love is stronger than death. And that is testified by the reality that on the third day, Jesus is raised from the dead. Now, I suspect if you talk to people in our world, and if you just look at the events of the last several months, you will see that many do not believe that answering hatred and violence with love is a strong thing to do. If someone hurts me, I need to hurt back. If someone wrongs me, I need justice. If someone threatens us with violence, we need to respond in like kind. But the reality is that the way of the cross is hard. It's not easy to say, I'm going to love no matter what you do to me. We can only do it by God's grace. It is the way of strength with power to transform this world. Hatred answered by hatred leads to more hatred. Violence answered by violence leads to more violence. But when violence and hatred, when sin are met with love, that cycle stops. And love endures. Love has the power to transform this world. This week there was an article posted on Facebook entitled ISIS versus the Way of Jesus by Carl Medeiros. I don't want to say much about what he said about ISIS and a response to them. I'm not sure I agree with a lot of what he said. But what I did really like and found myself resonating with and think he is speaking truth is what he says about the way of Jesus and about the way of the cross. Here's what he says. Jesus' way is not passive. The way of the cross is perhaps the most aggressive stance towards evil ever taken. The love that God offers the world in Christ is not wimpy. It is a robust affront to the systems of our day that cry out for blood and revenge. The way of Jesus is the hard way. Forgiveness, love, choosing to lay down our lives is the most difficult path in the face of real enemies. Evil is real, but love is far more powerful. Love is far more powerful. And in our epistle this morning, Paul says to the Philippians, let this same mind be in you that was in Jesus. Those of you baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, put on Jesus. Put on that same mind, that mind of love. Put on the mind of the one who, though he was God, accepted the limitations of being incarnate in human flesh. The one, though he was God, willingly went to the cross. The one who loved to the end, and therefore God highly exalted him, giving him a name above every other name. That's our call, to put on that identity of self-giving love, of even self-sacrificing love, no matter what might be done to us. And as a parish dedicated to Jesus the Redeemer, our call is to witness to that love. Our call is to engage the world always rooted in that love. Living in the power of cross, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. No matter what evil, what suffering befalls us, we are safe in Christ forever. We can answer any suffering knowing, trusting that Jesus has gone before us. He knows what it is to suffer as a human being and to suffer the most horrific of suffering, and is with us in those moments of trial and difficulty, supporting us and sustaining us and offering that promise that love will triumph and at the end we will be all right. We are caught up in God forever. And so may this parish be a sign to this broken and needy world, a place which offers that love to all, that answers the evil of the world with that love of God, that insistent love, which is about reconciliation and about glimpsing eternity in the here and now. And may we give freely of ourselves in service of those in need, walking the way of the cross, going the way that Jesus has gone before us. In our gospel this morning, Jesus is entering the final days. In John's gospel, this account we heard this morning comes just after the account of Palm Sunday and before the events at the end of the week where Jesus goes to his death and ultimately his resurrection. But in John's gospel, the focus is the cross. That's where Jesus is glorified. That's the point, that offering of love. And so Jesus promises today that when he is lifted up on the cross in that time of glory, he will draw all people to himself. May we say yes to that invitation, to be drawn to the heart of Jesus, that we might be so formed and put on the identity of Jesus that we are Jesus in the world, people of love and of healing and of reconciliation. And may we walk in the light and reflect that light to the world, that it might be transformed by the love of God. Amen.